Now joining us now, outdoorsman Kennedy Warne. Ata marae, Kennedy.
Hi, Lynn. Very much indoors at the moment, but that's the way.
That's lockdown for you.
It's nice to talk to you again. You know, one of the consolations in times of uncertainty is the changeless rhythms of nature. And I was just noting that in 10 days' time, the inexorable motion of our planetary orbit will deliver the spring equinox, which is when day and night is of equal length. Birds, of course, need no calendar. And one of the treasures of spring in Aotearoa is the arrival of our two native species of cuckoo. Well, yesterday I heard my first pipifararoa, the shining cuckoo, the smaller of our two cuckoos. The other one, the koikoia, or the long-tailed cuckoo, I have heard but never seen. Have you seen it, Lynn?
I have not.
I know you're
seen
a bird.
I know cuckoos. I've found very difficult. The one time I saw a shining cuckoo, I didn't have my camera, so that was very disappointing. But look, let's play the call of the long-tailed cuckoo for our listeners.
See, Lynn, that why one of its common names is the screamer, just that single rising shriek, so different from the shining cuckoo, which has that much more melodious song.
And that falling note at the end, that meow, meow, yeah.
Well, the long-tailed cuckoo is much larger than the shining cuckoo, about the weight of a tui. And its tail is almost as long as its body. That long tail makes the bird in flight look a little bit like a falcon. And it is thought that for that reason, sometimes long-tailed cuckoos are observed being mobbed by smaller birds such as sparrows or silver eyes, and also chased by tui and bellbird. And I like the shining cuckoo. Long-tailed cuckoos are only here in the summer. Spring and summer. So they've started arriving. I've seen there's a Facebook site for people who like to track cuckoo migrations, and some people in Taranaki and elsewhere have reported hearing koikoia already. The remarkable thing about this bird, of course, which breeds only in New Zealand, is it has one of the longest migrations of any songbird, flying up to 6,500 kilometres from its winter range in the Southwest Pacific, which is roughly four times from North Cape to Bluff. So they're here just for a few months in spring and early summer to lay their egg. Like many cuckoos, they are nest parasites, brood parasites. So they lay their eggs in the nests of other birds and rely on those birds to raise the young.
Which are their species of choice? Because I know the riro, grey warbler, are a favourite of the shining cuckoo.
Well, this is interesting. The hosts of the long-tailed cuckoo, there are three. In the North Island, it's the whitehead. In the South Island, it's the yellowhead and the brown creeper. Now, all of these birds are in the same genus, Mohua, an endemic family. So they have probably this association between long-tailed cuckoos and Mohua probably goes back millions of years. And as with the pipifararoa and the grey warbler, the riro, the size differential is incredible. These whiteheads and yellowheads are very small birds, and the juvenile long-tailed cuckoo is very large. Now, if people want to go onto the New Zealand Birds Online website, there's some wonderful pictures by Andy Clark, and one of them shows Adam Clark, got his name wrong, and one of them shows a whitehead feeding a juvenile long-tailed cuckoo, and it really looks like a lion tamer putting his head into the mouth of a lion. The huge gape of the long-tailed cuckoo, and there's this tiny whitehead almost with his head almost right inside the bill of the other. So, but here's an interesting corollary to this: is that whiteheads, yellowheads, endangered. They are subject to considerable predation by rats, stoats, and those other critters we're trying to eliminate. So if you have an arrangement where your sole host, in the long-tailed cuckoo's case, is under threat itself, then of course the cuckoo is under threat. So there's this interesting relationship where, if you like, saving the white-head and yellow-head and brown creeper, not just for themselves, but for the bird that needs them to raise its young.
I think it's true of cuckoos also, isn't it? Is that they would only do the first clutch. They'd only lay an egg for one pair because they know that they need that species to survive also. So it's not like they're every clutch. I think the riro grey warbler can have several in a year.
That's right. I know that for riro, they get their first clutch away before the shining cuckoo arrives. I'm not sure if whitehead and yellowhead have multiple clutches, but it may just be that there are more of them, or there's enough to sustain the cuckoo. Because when the cuckoo chick hatches, and the adults only lay one egg in their host nest, and when that egg hatches, it kicks out the eggs and young of the other. So it hogs the entire feeding capacity of the adults. The other thing is that long-tailed cuckoos only breed from about Hamilton South, and that's because the whitehead doesn't occur north of about Waikato. There are some on Little Barrier Hauturu, but none in Northland and Auckland, so that's why long-tailed cuckoos won't breed. However, they are seen in Auckland in the north. That's because they're migrating south to find the hosts that they need. Now, I should just say that if people want to learn more about this, there's a wonderful lecture that I listened to just a couple of days ago by Brian Gill, retired curator of birds and land vertebrates at the Auckland Museum. And he talks a lot about the diet and other behavioural aspects of the long-tailed cuckoo. And there's a link on the 9 to Noon page if people want to have a look at that. There is an interesting theory, if I've got time to say this.
You've got a minute. Go for it.
Okay. That it's thought that when Pacific people observed long-tailed cuckoos, koikoi, are flying south, it piqued their curiosity about the fact that there must be land in that direction. So some people think that the navigation southward may have been prompted by watching long-tailed cuckoos head south as they do every spring. It may have been those navigators were just adventurous and heading going to go in that direction anyway, but it's an intriguing and beguiling thought that by watching where the birds were going and knowing they were land birds and had to be going to land, they decided to follow them. An appealing story. But regardless of that, the arrival of the cuckoos, both koikoia and pipifarara, are still traditional seasonal signals for Maori that it's time to prepare gardens and plant kumara. And for all of us, they are just one of the signals of spring.
Thank you, Kennedy. A signal of spring, a moment of joy. Thank you for your company today.